Hello and welcome. I'm excited to announce that I've just released my first ebook and it's completely free just for you. And I guarantee if you love this show, you'll love this book. So go check it out after you finish listening at lukegreenhart.com/free. Hello and welcome to another episode of The Selfish Podcast. Today we have Zach Jensen, who I have been following on Instagram, so I do know a little bit about this guest, but I am excited to know a lot more. So welcome, Zach. Can you just share to me and to the audience, where in the world are you? What time of day is it for you?
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. And I am in Madison, Wisconsin, so that's in the United States, and it is currently a little after 12 p.m. here.
Oh, nice. As you know now, I'm in the south of Spain and it's just gone 7 p.m. So it's a nice sunny evening for me here. Yeah. What I like to do with my guests is go back a little bit and hear about their childhood so I can hear more about their life and experiences. Can you paint me a picture of what life was like, say, pre 10 years old, what your parents did, just how life was?
Yeah, pre 10 years old. Wow. I haven't had somebody ask me that question in a while. So pre 10 years old, I grew up near Green Bay, Wisconsin, which isn't too far from where I currently live. And the culture there, my parents both worked for a short amount of time when I was young. And then my mom eventually ended up staying home. They decided that, hey, we're paying for childcare and it's basically taking up her income. So she might as well just stay home with us kids. So I was the middle child. I had two brothers. And we're within 2 years of each other. And during that time, when I was about three, my dad started a business. So he started that with two other people, and that consumed a fair amount of his time and energy. And from an early age, I admired him with his dedication and just his decision to carve out his own path, which is really cool. So other than that, I don't really know a whole lot of, I can't really think about a whole lot of before 10 years old. Wow.
Yeah, no, it's nice that you noticed that you was able to admire your father's dedication, because a lot of people when they're younger and the parents just working or, you know, working a lot, especially self-employed or starting a business, that, you know, it can look like they don't want to spend time with them. Whereas you could actually see the value in that scenario, which was interesting. And with your mother, I find that funny because I know so many people now that are having kids around my age and both of them go to work and one of them's just working to pay childcare. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. I was like, don't you want to be with your child?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple people that had that similar situation. And it's like, well, you know what? Instead of working to pay for childcare, I might as well just go be the childcare versus having the money come in and out right away.
Yeah, no, it seems strange to me. I think maybe it's a lot to do with the pressure just to have a career for some people. You know, it's like if you say you haven't got a career or a job, that you're sort of a nobody. I think that's quite a stigma that people could be a bit scared of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially what I've found too is, especially when it comes to actually both genders now, would have that pressure.
Yeah, I think, you know, a while back, pressure for females, like I think they're getting it a lot now that they got to be working and have a career, like I think that's added.
Yeah, I think for the men it's been there forever because it's just been the assumed piece, but now it's starting to be, from my understanding of, yeah, there is that pressure of if you're a woman and you're not working, then there's some interesting perspectives on that of like, oh, you're just a mom or something like that. And I think being a mom is the absolutely most important and most honorable role in this world.
Well, yeah. And I think being a parent, being a father, being a mom, like you work to provide for the child and you're not working just for the sake of obsessing over a career. Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm, yeah. So what was school like for you? How was school at that age?
Yeah, that's interesting. At that age, so I went to a private Catholic school, which is interesting. And it's funny because I wouldn't necessarily say it was, a lot of people think that if you go to private school, it's like the fancy rich kid school, but that wasn't necessarily my experience. I did not feel like the, the school was really the most, the highest standards, I guess. It was an amazing school. The food was great. I always loved that. But it was an interesting, it definitely wasn't like the rich kids, I would say that. Yeah. We did not have that group of people. But growing up there, I really loved people. So I made a lot of friends when I was young. I got into a fair amount of trouble, that's for sure. I was always pushing the boundaries when I was in grade school. And I was in the principal's office a fair amount of times and getting detentions and written up and things like that. But I was always having fun. And it was usually with other people.
Oh, nice. And you said you had, you're the middle child and you got a brother either side and only 2 years. So were they in the same school as you?
They were at times, yeah, until they graduated from that school. Mm-hmm.
So it was my last podcast guest that hasn't gone out yet, but she was talking about like she was an eldest of four sisters. And she goes, she was like the protector in the school. She's sorting them out. And she's like, I don't know if my siblings ever knew how much I was like looking out for them or not. And I was like, no, my brother was older and he was in the same school for a while and he looked out for me and I knew it. And then I thought, but I never expressed it. And I wonder, did you have any issue, like anything like that with, you know, like protecting your younger brother, or you just didn't need to, or your older brother looking out for you?
Yeah, it's funny. It's interesting because I reflected on this a couple of years ago, actually, where since I had an older brother, I didn't feel like I was an older brother in many ways, because I feel like my younger brother could take care of himself pretty darn well. And even with being my older brother, I didn't feel like I needed someone to take care of me. So I was actually trying to hang out with my older brother and his friends all the time and trying to be cool and fit in with them. So no, I didn't really feel much pressure to be, you know, a protector, be an older brother. And I also, you know, if there was a time where something came up where my younger brother was in a certain situation, then I would definitely. But, you know, my younger brother really kept himself, took care of himself, and never really called me forward to be in that situation. So, oh, yeah, nice. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And do you remember like your earliest ambition or dream or desire, something you wanted to do, be, or become, like the earliest memory of that?
That is, again, something I was reflecting on. And this is actually a couple of weeks ago. It's funny because I remember, I don't know what age it was, but I remember it was young. Obviously not too young because we were using computers, but I remember taking this career test when we were in middle school, maybe. And the results for it were like construction worker, farmer, garbage man. So just about all of the things that fit the things I like to do at that age were all outdoors, working with your hands, those kinds of things. And I definitely wanted to be a music singer. That was something from a very early age, but it didn't really stick with me as a true ambition, but I just thought that one just came up. But yeah, it was what really fit for what I'd like to do was anything outside, anything that I get to use my hands.
Oh, nice. And do you remember what your, this can be over 10, but do you remember what your first like struggle was in life? Thank you. What comes to mind first?
I'll give it one more second.
Don't overthink it, whatever floats in first. Yeah, it doesn't have to be the biggest obstacle.
The first thing that popped up. My mind was, yeah, trying to hang out with my older brother. I think that was it, because I looked up to my older brother in many ways and I really wanted to hang out with him and his friends. I think that was like the struggle to be able to fit in there, to be able to be invited there. And oftentimes it was, you know, my older brother was like, get out of here. You're my younger brother. Get out of here. Let me hang out with my friends. So yeah, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. I remember like, cause just idolizing my brother when I was little and like, so you want to hang out with them and their friends. And there was moments where I could tell he just wanted to hang out with his brother too. But every so often he had to also show his friends that he's the boss, you know, and you'd get the insults, the jokes. And it was really tough when you're a kid, cause you're getting picked on by someone you're trying to admire.
Yeah.
And it's like an odd place to be, but then they're being nice to you. It's like a weird game.
Yeah, definitely. I know what you mean.
Yeah. And did you find when you was younger, and this could be for your teens or anything, did you find anything that gave you some sense of balance in that time, like an activity or something you did that just made you feel good?
Yeah, I would say, especially during high school, what I think of is high school. So that is ages about, I don't know if it's different countries, but we do that between the ages of 14 and about 17 and 18. So during that time, I feel it gave me a sense of that kind of comfort and belonging and I don't know the other words for it right now, but was these classes that I took that were very oriented towards hands-on work. So I took a lot of automotive classes where we worked on cars. I took a lot of woodworking classes, metalworking classes. So being in that group, being in those kinds of classes, as well as with those kinds of people, interestingly enough, was what really made me feel good about going to school every day, actually. Yeah, I haven't
Nice.
reflected on that.
Nice. And like you said, tying in again with like how you wanted something hands-on from a young age, that
Yeah,
drive was in
exactly.
there. And now I know you as and to tell me if I'm wrong, like there's so many people online, it's hard to really, like I said, I like to do the podcast to really get to know them, because through the online you only get to see glimpses, people's stories, the odd post here and there, and we're all getting these feeds of however many people flying through our daily life. So what I've seen of your content is that you're motivating, inspiring, and help set a direction, mainly focused at, say, millennials. Is that correct? To like coach them, to mentor them?
That is correct. So I've been doing unofficially, I've been doing coaching for many years, but officially for about 2 years now. And I've coached people all over the board. And the people that I realize really resonate with me and I resonate with them and that I feel I can help the most at this time are millennials who struggle with a lot of anxiety, struggle with a lot of indecision, a lot of lack of confidence, lack of direction. There's so many opportunities nowadays. There are, rewind 50, 100 years ago, there were a handful of things you could do as a career, let's just say, or where you could live. Nowadays, I mean, here, look at us. We connected on this thing that we call phone that connected us across the world. And now we're recording something for people all over the world to listen to. I mean, this was never an option 100 years ago. Or even 50 years ago. So now there's just so many opportunities for people, and it's a great thing, but so many people just get frustrated and get lost and get so depressed about it because they don't know what to do. So I work with them to gain confidence and clarity in who they truly are, like what they really want out of life, not necessarily what society is telling them, what their parents are telling them. What a book or social media is telling them, but what they truly want as them as an individual. And then we work towards making a path that way and do it in an enjoyable way.
Yeah, it's very hard to go in a direction if you don't know where to go. And I see it very much like I always was looking at when the biggest supermarkets and stuff and the mega stores sort of came into the UK when I was there when I was a child. And I remember my parents being overwhelmed and like especially my mum because she had a mental illness and just taking her into the big shops really knocked her out of balance. And it's like there was so much choice. Like you might just want to go and get, say, some biscuits, yet you've got at least 30 different options for like biscuits now, whereas before one or two options. And it's like that, as you're saying, with choices in the world, what you want to be, here's an abundance of options. And that could, you're noticing is having a lot of effect on them, almost too much choice to say which path can I choose. And you've noticed that, was that something you noticed in yourself, or was it just what you
Yes.
noticed from others?
Yes. So the reason why I said this is what I've noticed in others and what I feel I could help people most with is what a lot of people say in the coaching world is your mess is your message, or your message is how you help people. So it's basically the things that you struggled with, the things that you worked through or are currently working through, that's what you're best equipped to help other people through. And that's exactly how I felt, where I was getting towards in the middle, towards the end of college or university is what I think they call it in Europe. And during that time, I had a lot of indecision about what my next paths were, feeling a lot of pressure that I had to have the next 20, 40 years of my life planned out. And there was a lot of indecision, unsureness. I was just looking for somebody to almost tell me what to do because there were so many options and I didn't want to pick the wrong one. So I seeked out a lot of mentors, looked towards my dad a lot for help. And he, now looking back at it, I'm so grateful for how he approached it. But at that time, I did not like it. So he, at that time, what he, even to this day, I just applauded him 2 weeks ago for this. He never told me what to do. He always asked questions, guided, shared some of his experience, but he never would let me or would let himself say, you need to do this. He would never do that. And sometimes I really wanted him to because I was so confused of what should I do and where should I go? But I'm so glad he didn't because he let me figure that stuff out on my own. And if I were to just follow him, I wouldn't have thought for myself. I wouldn't have gained confidence in myself. I wouldn't have made my own mistakes along the way. I wouldn't have figured out who I really am, what I really want. So at that time, I had a lot of indecision, a lot of unsureness. And then even after university, college, I started working with a couple businesses that just started up. And even during that time, I thought one thing was it. And then I stuck my head in the sand and worked my butt off and forgot about my relationships that I had, forgot about my health really, because I was just so set in this one thing, trying to prove myself, trying to make myself feel like I'm worth something. There's so many reflections on those couple of years. But at that time, then I had so much, am I not working hard enough? Am I all these questions, all this anxiety that I had. And that was a couple of years ago now. And I find so many people in similar situations where they're not, you know, they're following all these things on social media, whether that's, and there's so many things, some work for you, some don't. It's all dependent upon who you are. But a lot of them are finding these like, oh, cut off all your friends and grind. You know, that's a huge message that we see, or sacrifice now to get later, things like that. And those can work for you, but it's not a copy and paste. You know, it's not a, this works for every single person. So, some people like to do some stuff like that. Some people enjoy it. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think what people don't see is there's a plethora of options of what success is. So I went on a little rant there for a little bit, but feel free to jump in, ask any questions.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I can relate to it. Like I spent a lot of my life suffering depression, anxiety, and just some issues. And I had a real strong work ethic. And I was like, I will push myself beyond my limits. Like, I'll push myself as hard as I can until I'm like 30. Then when I'm 30, that's when the real work kicks in, you know, and it's like, I've got to work really hard. And when my life basically fell apart externally and all my efforts didn't work out, and it was overwhelming and I was just going through so much stress and I was feeling even more depressed. And it took me to come to a position of realizing that because of that sort of militant attitude I had on my inner self, I was like a dictator whipping myself to work, to do things, to be so ambitious, but to like drive yourself so hard to do it, that I was living in that future that one day I will be this, I will be that, I will get this, I'll get that, and then I will feel good, then I'm allowed to feel good. And it made me not present at all in the moment I'm in. Like I said, relationships fall apart. You look back on days and you're not sure even how that happened or what happened. And you're just in discomfort. And then you get to that point where you thought your expectations were going to be met and they're not met. That discomfort just multiplies and just is even more. And it took me a huge transition to realize, like, I can have all the ambition in the world and go for my dreams, have all this drive, but I don't need to set myself on feeling good when I achieve it. That doesn't matter. The achievement is enjoying now that you're in the process, you're in the journey, you're in life and building relationships and having connections. Mm-hmm. So now it's beautiful to hear that's something you're sort of sharing and helping people come to a place with. So how did it feel to do your very first, say, paid for coaching session with a client? What was that feeling like?
Yeah. Well, I first want to, I'll come back to this question, but I want to tag on to something you just said there. And I just actually recorded a podcast this morning about this very similar thing of this idea of like not having enough time, feeling like you're behind in life, wanting more hours in the day. And I went through that, a story about similar, what I talked to you about this company that I was working nonstop with. And what I realized there so much is that like and this isn't in a bad way, but there will always be another goal. There will always be a new challenge. Like the phrase I said was, there's no finish line, because each time you get to a goal, each time you accomplish something, you're going to create a new one. Each time you overcome a challenge, there will be another one waiting for you. And that's not a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a great way for us to keep progressing in life and keep growing so we can help more people, so we can be more, experience more, serve more. But if you're stuck on the idea that once I cross this finish line, this one goal, then things will just be fantastic, well, then you're just going to be struggling and avoiding your priorities. I mean, I was avoiding my health, my relationships, and now I'm able to realize, okay, wow, since I know I'll always have goals, I'm going to make sure that throughout it, I'm enjoying myself. I'm spending time with my wife. I'm working on my health. I'm building relationships. I'm going to get to those goals. I'm going to keep moving towards them, but I'm going to make sure along the way I'm building up myself. I'm enjoying myself. So I want to throw that in there as well, as it's a, because I think a lot of people are in that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So to answer your question about how did it feel when I had my first paid coaching client? So I think of this moment often. I really do. And that was back when I was doing, I believe I was doing one-off sessions. So, you know, you book a session with me and you pay me after. And I remember having the session and then on my phone, it popping up that he paid me. And it was the, I screamed, I was yelling, I had music on, like, it was the coolest thing. It was so cool. And I think back on that moment so often, because that was the moment where I was like, wow, I knew it was possible. I knew you could do something you loved and get paid for it. Like, that was a moment where it really crystallized that for me.
Oh, nice. And were you saying were you doing it like a, almost like a money-free guarantee? If the session isn't good, don't pay. Was it like optional that they could pay at the end?
No, it, good question, actually. I'm pretty sure I set a rate at that time. I was all over the place when I first started with how I was charging people, if I was charging people. But at that specific one, I believe I said, here's the rate and it'll be due after the session. Yeah, I did, because I wanted, at that time, I was like, oh, I'll deliver and then they'll pay me, type of thing. So that's where my head was at that time, I believe.
And if someone was looking now and they wanted to look more into your sort of coaching and what you do, or just follow you, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, so they can go onto my Instagram, and that's the best place to find me. And that is, that my handle for my Instagram is @_ZACH_JENSEN_. So that is @_ZACH_JENSEN_. And I put my content on there. I put my podcast on there. I have a website that I have on there as well. And so everybody can just go to my Instagram.
Oh, nice. And I'll make sure I put it in the description as well. Awesome. And so how do you find the social media process itself? Like, I'm trying to be on as many as possible, and there is so many. And like I said, I've noticed with Instagram, it seems to be, there's very few over 35, say. It seems to be a very high, I don't know what the age would be, but like teens to sort of mid 25s, like a big range, I think, on there. Is that why you're on there? Is that because you just fit on there? What's your choice and how do you choose your social media?
Yeah, it's a good question. And ideally, being everywhere, right? So then you can be seen everywhere. And I actually took a 2 or 3 month course last year about growing a business on social media. And I learned a lot of things through that. But at the end of the day, what I found out, or what I decided myself, is that you just have to do what works for you. You can't, if you try to do everything, you're going to burn yourself out. You're not going to be able to be effective in any of them. So to me, it was, hey, get pretty good at one, one social media platform and then make your way to the next one. And then there's a lot of things that cross over. So currently where I'm at is I am doing all social media or all Instagram. And that is because that's the one that I was drawn to and so many people my age are drawn to, which are my ideal clients right now. So I figured if I'm on there and if I enjoy being on there, other people my age as well will be. And that's what I've heard from people as well. And the other platform that I'm just now, I just got onto about 2 weeks ago. And the reason I did was because I have a really good understanding of Instagram now as I moved on to TikTok. And the other reason why I'm doing it is because it's pretty easy to post to both. So if I'm already putting in work to Instagram, I can easily add in just a little more work and get on TikTok as well.
Okay, no, interesting, because I started a TikTok and I just not enjoyed it. So I've been a lot less consistent, whereas Instagram, for some reason, is quite a nice place. It's like an easy place to go on and the content's not so bad. You know, you don't get bombarded too much, whereas TikTok is like the stuff I get bombarded with, you know, and you start to follow accounts and that's meant to change you, but I still get so much trash.
Yeah.
It's just like I just don't need to see it.
I think TikTok is made to be in your face all the time. I think that's the, and I think that even people younger than 25, especially younger than 20, that I feel like a lot of them are on that platform. Nice. So people under 20, and it definitely is a platform that I feel is in your face all the time, showing you a bunch of different videos, nonstop playing, where Instagram is a little more, you consciously choose what you're going to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you said you got a podcast. So how and why did you start a podcast and what's your podcast about?
Yes. So I have a podcast on both Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, and it's called Stoking Success. And I've been wanting to have a podcast for a long time. I feel like I've spent so much time working on my mindset, working on my own psychology, working on my relationships, my business. And I feel like I just have so much that I could share with people. And I thought, I looked around a group of my friends and I'm like, most people do not spend as much time as I do on this kind of work, but I know they could benefit from it. So instead of this all just being used on me, I want to share it with somebody. So that was my initial inspiration for it, but I just kept kicking the can down the road. And then it was, I think, fall of last year, I realized that I love interviewing people. I love asking people questions similar to what you're doing here right now. And I said, you know what? I'm helping my clients a lot. I'm outputting a lot of content onto social media and things like that. And the podcast at that time was exclusively interview based. So at that time I thought, you know what? Let me ask people questions and have them input into me. So it was almost like I was filling up other people's cups. Let me look at somebody to fill up my cup in a way. So I would ask a bunch of questions and learn from people who accomplish things that I haven't yet or are just completely different than the life that I have lived. So that was really, really fun. And then the last couple of months, I started transitioning to doing more, a little more solo stuff. So it's about half and half now, where half the time I'm just jumping on for 10 to 20 minute episodes and I'm just talking. And then the other episodes are still the interview based style.
Oh, nice. And how have you worked out your scheduling? If you have a schedule, do you have set dates you release? Do you release weekly, monthly? Where are you with that process?
Yeah, I have been different throughout the time. Oh, and other thing I'll say, my podcast is mainly focused on, so it's called Stoking Success, and it's focused on helping people clarify and achieve their definition of success. And I specifically mean their definition of success because so many people, like I mentioned, copy and paste. Mm. And they say, oh, this person says I need to make $10,000 per month. I need to go make $10,000 per month. This person says I should work 100 hours a week. I should go work 100 hours per week. This person says I should have a six-pack abs. I should go, you know, have that. And so many people are unconsciously choosing and going down these roads. So what I hope to help people see is there's a million routes and you can choose whichever one you want that aligns with you. And then I bring on some people, and I also share some things from my experience about how to go down some of those routes. So that's what it's about. And my current scheduling is I post 2 podcasts a week. So one thing I love from this guy named Tim Ferriss, he has one of the largest podcasts in the world. He's been doing this before podcasts were cool. And he mentioned, I was listening to a 3-hour podcast about him talking about his podcast. And he said, post as much as you can to keep it sustainable. So he's like, if that's maybe once a month and you can keep that up, do that. Plan to set up a process where you can post 100 podcasts. So if you're trying to post 3 podcasts a week and you can't keep up with it and you quit after 3 weeks, well, that defeats the purpose in many ways. So I started doing, okay, what can I manage and how much time do I want to dedicate to this? So I settled on at this time of my life, 2 podcasts a week. So one of them being a solo one on Tuesday, and then one of them being an interview style on Thursday.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was just curious as making my own podcast, because for me, and it resonates with what that guy said. What was his name again? Sorry.
His name is Tim Ferriss, TimFerriss, I think.
Yeah, because I started, I already had a YouTube channel and I'd been doing that for a while. And I've always been, it's a bit like what you said, I loved YouTube. I use it a lot and it's just always worked for me. And I used to help businesses make channels to put like videos up then sell it to small businesses, the ideas. And that's what I was trying to do back in 2009. And people are like, YouTube's nothing. It won't ever be anything. Every single shop, every single business. I was like, no, trust me. I had athletes. I was like, start building a channel. And they're like, how do I get paid? And I was like, no, trust me, just build a channel and you'll make money. And it was so hard to sell YouTube. Whereas now,
that's so funny.
I was like, it was just crazy. Yeah, it was an experience. And yeah, so when I was doing YouTube for a while and putting videos up there a lot, and I was like, oh, I want to, like, my partner was interested in podcasts, and she's like, oh, do you think I could do a podcast? And she wanted to like interview animal sanctuaries and people that do that, because that's something she's passionate about. So I was explaining all the process to her, telling her, and she was contemplating. And within a couple of weeks, I was like, do you know what? I'm starting my own podcast. She's like, what do you mean? I said, oh, I'm going to do it. I've convinced myself. Trying to convince her, I've convinced myself. So I set one up, but I was like, you need to be consistent. And I was like, how consistent can I be? And I was like, at the moment, 1 episode a month. If I can do 1 a month, if I can find 1 guest a month, you know, and continue that for a year and just see where it goes. And then after a few months, it was like, you know what? I think I can do 1 a week. Now I'm getting the hang of it. Now I'm figuring out how to get guests. I've got a format with structure and actual like graphics and everything, the promo stuff. And I was like, you know, I get 1 a week. And just last week, now I'm doing 2 a week.
Wow.
Because it just was growing and I'm getting more guests. Then I feel almost bad for the guest. I'm like, I want to get your message out soon. I can't tell them like, oh, you're going to be out in 6 months time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, okay, I got to start. So mine's, yeah, Wednesdays and Sundays. How did you pick your days, Tuesdays and Thursdays? Why them days? Was it personal schedule? Or?
Yeah, a lot of it was personal schedule. I realized that I was going to do most of my work Mondays through Fridays. And I do other content that I post out there through social media on the other days. So that's how I decided Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay, nice. Yeah, and as you know, and I think everyone has had some experience, the last 2 years have been a little strange for people and a bit of a shakeup in their world. How has that been for you in your life and everything you got going on internally, externally? What's happened in your world for the last 2 years?
Yeah, great question. So I luckily have not been... Myself, as well as my family, has not been, and my closest friends have not been, have not gotten any terminal complications in the last 2 years. Hmm. So that has been a huge blessing that I haven't lost anybody in my life due to all that's been going on. So that one up front, that is the main thing. But, you know, once I acknowledge that, it's honestly been amazing for me. That first year, so that was things started shutting down in March. At that time, I was I love networking and I love people, meeting new people, and I love exploring and trying out new things and new opportunities. But I tend to, at that time, I was saying yes to absolutely everything. And at that time, I was struggling to say no to anything. And I actually recorded a podcast a couple months ago with somebody talking about something similar to this, where at that time, I was very much in the people pleaser role, where I was just like, yes to everything. Doesn't matter what I feel about it. Doesn't matter what I think about it. Doesn't matter what my schedule is. I will just say yes to it because I can't say no. I struggled so hard to say no. So at that time, once things started slowing down and shutting down, it was like I could breathe again. Things were automatically shut down. Things were automatically canceled. And that felt so good. I mean, at that time, I was realigning with new groups of friends, new peers that were more aligned with where I wanted to go in my life and who I wanted to be. And I was struggling with saying no to some people and struggling to find the new people I wanted to spend time with. So that first year was absolutely amazing. I got to spend a lot more time with my wife. I got to spend a lot more time with myself. And yeah, I stopped reacting, you know, and once things started opening up for the first time that following summer, I realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been so nice not to say yes to everything. Now I see the benefit of it. Now moving forward, I'm going to be very careful with what I commit to. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is just how nice it was to, as at that time, a people pleaser, and how much that affected me of just having nothing going on, how positive that affected me. So that wraps up the largest piece of how that experience affected me.
Nice that you brought that to you. And I've noticed with, I'd say, all my guests, I think, that they've managed to find the opportunity in what's happened. Like, they've looked for the form of growth, wherever they didn't see it at the beginning. It's like by now, I think, because it's gone on for so long, it's like, and most the guests I just happen to get, I'm not picky with my guests, it's just whoever contacts me. So I don't know who I'm going to get sometimes. I really know nothing but whatever name they put on the sign-up form. And but I get a lot of really, say, not just optimistic, but like driven people that will look to turn a situation into their advantage for a better life, not for, say, greed or anything. And greed for life, it could be. They just want to live a good life. And so it's really nice to hear that, like, you got that perspective from it. And how did you find, how long have you been doing this coaching for now? Was that started during that time, or have you been doing it for a long time since? I think you might have mentioned, but I've forgotten at the beginning.
Yeah, I always say to people, unofficially, I've been doing this for a long time, but officially, I've been doing this for about 2 years. So yeah, I actually started right around when this all happened. I remember when my first coaching training that I went through was happening during this time, and it was supposed to be in person, so it all went virtual. So yeah, this is actually, COVID sparked the beginning of my coaching journey.
Yeah, that kind of works out really nicely for actually, because you get to see from the beginning how virtual coaching can work. So you got that for the beginning stage. You go, right, this can work. I can do this now still and virtually, and it's effective.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, nice. What do you think, if let's pick yourself around 15 years old, what do you think your 15-year-old self would say about you if they met you now?
I would say currently, they would say, have more fun. And that is something that I've been working on this last couple of months, is realizing, I think we're constantly reprioritizing in life. You know, we're shifting this way, shifting that way. I think the idea of balance is, you know, kind of impossible, because there's always going to be something moving and new priorities and new opportunities and stuff like that. So I think that it's always, I read this book called The One Thing, and it was amazing. He talks about life is counterbalancing, because it's very impossible, very tough, if not impossible, to ever come to a complete balance where everything's the same. So he said it's constantly counterbalancing. And recently, I've been focusing a lot of time on working on my podcast, working on my business, working on my clients. And just the last couple of weeks, I'm realizing, okay, I need to counterbalance to have a little more fun, especially with the weather's getting a little nicer here. We're going into summer in this part of the world. So my 15-year-old self to me would probably say, go have some more fun. Go have some more adventures.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's like, especially when you're, I can tell you're highly ambitious and driven. Like you said, that can become a sort of, they can be fun in ways, but some of the simplest childish funness can be taken from it because it's at the same time, it's like serious, you know, and you've got like it sounds like you've got a strong mission and you know what you want and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And that mission can become so prioritized that certain sacrifice comes in.
Yeah. And a quote that one of my family members had at their house, they lived in the mountains. So it was a really cool quote to see there. It was something along the lines of life is, how does it go? It said something along the lines of every day you have to make the decision if you're going to enjoy life or make it better. So, or make the world better, enjoy the world or make the world better. Something along those lines. And I really like that. It's like, it's the constant decision between today, am I going to focus on making the world better? Or today, am I going to focus on enjoying the world or both?
Yeah. Oh, nice. And with your sort of what you're doing now, and you said you've got a wife, I'm just always curious to know about how your life is managing, say, being self-employed and having a relationship. And how do you got any tips for anyone listening who's looking at working for themselves and, you know, still loving their wife or partner?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just talking to a friend about this last week that, and he was surprised by what I'm about to say here. The area that I've spent the most time learning about through books, podcasts, seminars, online courses, experience, and where I've spent the most time and effort on has been in relationships, especially my intimate relationship. I'm currently married. And many people think like, oh, it's not in physical fitness or it's not in mindset or psychology. And no, it's actually not, because I've spent so much time in that relationships piece. And from an early age, I just made this decision in my mind that I would never prioritize work over my relationship, or not necessarily work over my relationship, but I would never let what I'm doing in work, in life, in money, all those things cripple my relationships, especially my intimate relationships. So for me, it's always been a huge focus. There's definitely times where I forgot about that, but I've always came back to that. So the main thing that I would say to people is lots of things. But one of them is realize that, kind of what we said in the beginning of this, is realize there will always be a challenge. There will always be a goal. There will always be a big thing you want to accomplish, but you probably wouldn't want to accomplish it and be there alone. And that's the direction I was going for a while. And I had to really get serious with myself and say, like, wow, do I want to continue this route, even if I'm going to be by myself in a couple of years? Mm-hmm. And to me at that time, I was like, absolutely not. So that's a big thing, is prioritize that. And I actually went through some therapy a couple of years ago. And I remember him specifically saying, he said, Zach, because I was so career driven, I was so driven on my business, I'm still ambitious about it, but in a different way. And he said, Zach, if you want to make your work and business work out, you have to make it all work. And what he meant by all is my relationships, my, you know, my health and things like that. And until that moment, I thought I could just work really hard in this one thing and everything else will just, you know, work itself out.
Yeah, and like you said, it's what you can work hard at business. You're like, yeah, understand that if you work really hard at your business and you do all the right things, you'll have a flourishing good business. Mm-hmm. And sort of it's the same with a relationship. You got, if you work really hard at your relationship and do all the right things, you'll have a flourishing relationship. Often, yeah, a lot of people just sort of think the relationship just manifests itself and you just go with the flow and it should just work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one thing that I realized when I was really young was like in high school, maybe even, I realized, I'm like, you know what? I think part of the reason why people get lost in the work is because work, especially with money and a career, it's a lot more tangible that you feel, you know, that you're getting success. Like if I work these three things, or if I make these three sales, I will make X amount of dollars in my bank account. So it's really easy to put on paper. You put in this, you get out this. But it's not that way with relationships. It's so much more fulfilling in relationships, but it's not as easy to measure. And I think that's where people struggle, is it's more of an art, not a science. Whereas many times in making money in business, it's very much a science. You know, you do this, you get this. But in relationships, it's an art. It's like, one moment this might work great for your relationship, next moment it might not. And it's something that you constantly are shifting and working on and learning about. So I think that's a struggle for people, is being able to be in there and you know, feel like they fail at many times. It's a vulnerable place. You take a lot of risks, and they don't always pan out how you think they would. And it's not as much of a science. So I think the art of it is the reason why so many people, or a reason why so many people will get consumed with work versus relationships.
Yeah, no, and I love that you call it an art. That's a very nice sort of metaphor way of looking at it. And yeah, it makes me think as well, when I was saying hard work, like sometimes people hear the word work and it's like a negative term in their mind. And it's like, if you love what you do, you don't mind the hard parts of it. You know, you actually enjoy them. It's a challenge and it's fun. And it's the same way I feel in a relationship. The hard work, if you love the person that you're in the relationship with, it's not hard. It's not like pain. It's not horrible. It's nice. You love the challenge. You know, it's exciting. And like you said, there's an art, an elegance, a creativity to it. And the unknown is quite exciting. You can put in all these things and you might not get the response you think, but you could love that journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're coming near to the end, and I really appreciate your time and you being on here. But I have a few fun, short questions I ask every guest at the end of the show. Do you have time for them?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
And so if you had to choose just one, a cat or a dog?
Dog.
That's quick.
I have a dog, so it makes it easy.
What's your favorite color?
Orange.
What excites you, motivates you, turns you on?
The outdoors.
Yes. And what does the opposite? What shuts you down?
Ooh. Spending too much time indoors.
Nice. What's your favorite? What sound or noise do you love?
Birds chirping. Like I can subtly hear in the background for you, where you're at.
And what sound or noise do you not love so much?
Ooh, loud. Oh, probably the news. CNN, the loud breaking news and noises that I don't like.
What do you love about yourself?
I love that I pivot. I love that I take each day, take each phase of my life, and I'm beginning to accept it a lot more than I used to, and shift up everything, basically transform myself into something else. I love that.
Nice. And what do you love to see in other people?
I love to see in other people a desire and knowing that they can improve their life and help others improve theirs.
Oh, nice. And very last question. What do you love about animals? This can be pets or animals in nature.
I love that they have a way to show their love to you and they can't speak. Love that.
Nice. I've not had that one, so that's a nice answer. I mean, it's been beautiful to talk to you, Zach. I really enjoyed it, and I'm excited to follow your journey, and I really wish you all the best with your ventures and life. And is there any final words or anything we didn't cover or anything you just want to say?
Yeah, I would say to everybody, remember that phrase that I said is the I don't know who I heard it from, but there's no finish line. And to really realize, like, hey, the whole embrace the journey thing, which I used to think was so cheesy and I never fully understand it. There's a reason why it's a cliche. It's because it's so true. It's that we're here on this life for we have no idea how much time that could be. It could be a couple more seconds. It could be another 100 years. And there will be so many things along the way that we want to pursue, achieve. But if we're not enjoying it along the way, it'll be quite sad life to live. So that is my embrace and enjoy your journey.
Oh, no, and I second that. It's definitely important to enjoy the journey. You know, like you said, it is one big journey. You got to enjoy it.
Absolutely.
And we'll have a beautiful day. I think you said it's early for you, so you've got the whole day ahead. And have a great day and a great life.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, my friend. And I really appreciate this. I really love the conversation. It's a different conversation that I've had on any other podcast. I love the insightful questions you had, especially digging into some things I didn't think about in a while, is my childhood. And I absolutely loved it. And it's been real beautiful spending this time with you. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I appreciate you. And thanks for being authentic and open and honest. It's always nice to chat to someone new and an open person. So thank you.
You got it. Looking forward to staying in touch.
You too, man. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye. All right. See you later. Bye. Thank you so much for being here and listening to The Selfish Podcast. I'm your host, Luke Greenhart, and I appreciate you being here. Don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. Just search Luke Greenhart on YouTube. You'll find me. Check out my website, lukegreenhart.com. Have an amazing day and stay tuned for more episodes. I'll be interviewing guests on their path of self-development, their path to self, getting to know them in much more intimacy, much more depth, sharing and connecting with all so we can have a much more blissful, joyful and productive life together. All right, much love. Have a great day.